We're visiting with the two candidates for Oregon House District 5 in Southern Oregon. Peter Buckley is retiring after several years in the position. We're visiting with both candidates seeking the seat now. Steve Ritchie is a Republican running for House 5. He came to the race this fall after the Republican who won the primary, Alan DeBoer, opted to run for the state Senate upon the death of Alan Bates. So, Southern Jackson County gets two new legislators with this election no matter what. Steve Ritchie, welcome to The Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me. It's fun to be here.
So what's it like to become a candidate that suddenly?
Well, it's definitely a life-changing experience. This wasn't on my radar. I have an interest in politics, but this was something that I'd maybe consider 10 years down the road when I'm a little further along financially with my career and such. But, you know, there needs to be an election and not a coronation. So when I was asked to run, I stepped up, and here I am.
Tell us about yourself and your job history and the kinds of things that you bring to the table should you get elected.
Well, I currently design fire sprinkler systems for buildings, all different types of buildings, from single-family homes to multi-story apartment, mixed-use buildings. I've been doing that for about 20 years. I guess the experience that brings to the table is that I've worked with many different jurisdictions, cities, counties, states, on the West Coast. I've learned the hard way how to negotiate through the government bureaucracy to get plans approved and know what all their specific codes are and what have you. Prior to that, I worked in Washington for the Washington State Legislature. I was on the caucus staff, and I did research and things of that sort. And I had done that for about 9 years, and this was back in the 90s. And even then, I was finding myself getting terribly cynical about the inner workings of politics. And I decided I wanted to chart my course more in the private sector than the government sector.
Got a little burned out on legislative sausage making, as it were?
Well, yeah. No, I wouldn't necessarily say burned out. I was just disillusioned by the backroom dealing. And I'm talking about everybody. It wasn't just the Republicans or just the Democrats. I mean, there was just so much stuff going on behind the scenes that was, I felt, did not have the public interest in mind.
Does it go beyond the simple horse trading, you think? I mean, beyond just the simple, you give me this and I'll give you that?
The example I like to use is 1 year, a Republican legislator had introduced a property tax reform bill in Washington. It was a good bill. It was well thought out. Of course, all the Republicans were in favor of it, and all the Democrats said it was a terrible bill. The following year, the power in the House of Representatives up there switched, and the Democrats are now in control. A Democrat legislator introduced almost exactly the same bill, same language, same everything, and there was a complete reversal. The Democrats thought it was the best thing since sliced bread, and the Republicans thought it was terrible. And that's just one anecdote, and I just don't like that kind of stuff. I mean, let's do what's right for the people, and this whole two-party system, you know, I think is probably not the best thing for our country, but it's what we've got, so we kind of have to work within it.
New parties are us and them. Is that about the way it works?
Well, yeah, right.
So you talk about wanting limited government and maximum liberty. How do you see state government in particular, because that's what you're running for, being too intrusive or overreaching?
Well, I guess overall, I feel like we need to change the culture of government. I think we've kind of gotten on this path where it almost seems as though we exist to serve government rather than government existing to serve us. And I just see the government intrusion in our daily lives. I mean, in terms of taxes, you know, Tax Freedom Day now in this country is April 24th. That means the average working person works 4 months of the year to support the government and the government's activities. I think that's immoral. I think that is kind of the level of debt we have and the level of taxation we have. Passing that on to our children, I just think is immoral because we are basically relegating them to a life of serfdom. So I would like to see the size of government just reduced and their scope, and maybe more of the programs that government is doing moved out more down to the local level, and then better yet, maybe moved out more to the private sector. I see it also in terms of going to get a building permit, doing just lots of things you want to do with your own property. There are so many regulations and restrictions on what you're allowed to do. The cost of getting a building permit, or not just the building permit, but the cost of government regulation on a $200,000 home is, I think recently I saw a figure at $60,000 of the cost of a $200,000 home is due to government regulations.
For systems development charges and things like that?
Yeah. And I mean, of course, codes are good. We've got to have building codes. That's why when we have major earthquakes, you know, we we have one or two people injured instead of thousands of people killed. So, I mean, codes are a great thing. But we do need to – Oregon's got the most restrictive land use overlay in the country in terms of what we are allowed to do with our own properties. And to some degree, yeah, we definitely have to do zoning and we have to protect our properties and we have to protect the character of Southern Oregon. But in other ways, you know, I think government can step back and keep their hands off a little more and let people – really own their property and do things that they want to do.
Okay, but for the things that people do expect government to do, like schools, I mean, you want them better, like a lot of people. So what's the approach you'd like to see taken by the legislature?
Well, what I like to say is I'd like to see education funded first. I think if we always hear that education is the most important function of state government, we hear that you know, our children are our future and we've got to fund education, but oftentimes, education gets pushed to the end of the budget process. They use children and teachers as human shields. This is part of the gamesmanship I'm talking about that I experienced when I was in politics, in the back of politics up in Washington. They use, you know, the children and teachers as these human shields, and then they fund everything else in the budget, whether it's necessary or not. And then at the very end, they say, oh, look, we don't have enough money for education. We have to raise taxes because if we don't, it's going to hurt the children. I think there was a session 6 or 7 years ago where the House was actually evenly split and Peter Buckley and Dennis Richardson were co-chairs
of House of Ways and Means. Yeah.
And what I have heard and is that was the best run, most smoothly run session in recent memory because they funded education first and they got that out of the way. They fully funded it. They got it funded and then they spent the rest of the session dealing with the other issues. And I don't want to say the smaller issues because there are a lot of issues that are important. But I think they got the most important one out of the way, and I would like to see us maybe adopt that as something that happens every year.
You've written also that taxes are too high. So where would you like to cut them in? If we're talking about income taxes, where on the income scale sees the greatest benefit of that?
I guess my personal experience with taxes here in Oregon is I do feel the income tax is too high. One thing that I have seen that I feel is very punitive is when you file an extension on your taxes. If you file an extension and you owe taxes to the federal government, they do charge you a penalty and they do charge you interest, which I understand. The penalty for the federal government when you owe taxes is, I think, 0.5%. The penalty in Oregon if you owe taxes is 20%. So if you have a tax bill and you say, hey, I can't get my taxes done this year, I need to file an extension, which many people do, and then you find out you owe taxes, say you owe $10,000, your penalty is going to be $2,000 if you're a single day late. And I just find that to be punitive. I certainly hope we don't go toward a sales tax. I think Measure 97 is a terrible idea.
I was going to ask you about 97. So you're a no on 97.
I'm definitely a no on 97. I think at this time, I think the best way to help Oregon is to attract businesses to our state. And I think we need to actively go out and recruit businesses. I don't think we can just sit back and say, Oregon's great. People will just stumble across it and move their business here, especially Jackson County. I mean, we've got such a low cost of living, such a high quality of life. Utility expenses are low. Land costs are low. There's no reason why a lot of these startup companies that are happening in the Bay Area, San Jose, Silicon Valley, shouldn't be starting up here. People can afford a home up here. For the same cost of renting a building down in San Jose, you can buy a building and then have an asset on your balance sheet at the end of a few years. So there's a lot of pros that Southern Oregon has, and I think we need to expand our tax base rather than increasing our taxes.
Well, all right, so against 97, but you're aware of the pension obligations that the state of Oregon has, both through the state level and through local governments. And so what do you see? I mean, it's going to take a bigger chunk out of budgets in probably the next two decades.
Well, and that's the real rub of Measure 97. They are selling it as something that's going to help education and children and senior services.
But not specifically allocated to those.
It's not. It's going to get dumped into the slush fund. It'll go into the general fund, and I would be willing to guarantee you most of it will go to paying down this PERS issue, which is a result of overpromises.
If that leaves money for everything else, is that a bad thing?
You mean after they pay down the PERS, mm-hmm. if there is more money? Well, it's never a bad thing to have more money other than the fact that it is coming from you and me. I think the way you close the budget shortfall is you've got to limit the amount of growth of state government. I did some quick research and some figuring, and over the past few bienniums, we've been growing at double digits, 10-12%, and that's unsustainable, I believe. If we were to say we're going to grow the budget at 8% or 7%, that in and of itself is going to save like $1.5 billion, and that closes your budget gap right there. But the thing that's always interesting to me, and I've learned this from my days with the legislature, is whenever you suggest that, hey, instead of we grow at 12%, we're going to grow at 8%, they don't consider that growing at 8%. They consider that a 4% cut. And I find that that's misinformation that is being fed to the public. I mean, how many of us wouldn't appreciate an 8% raise every couple years?
Or rate of growth is identified as a cut. That has happened lots of times.
Yeah, it does. And I think we need to control the growth of government. And I think we will grow our way out of this deficit or this budget deficit if we can attract businesses, expand our tax base, and then limit the rate of growth.
So given your feelings about state government, is that a role for the state government in attracting jobs and businesses? Or is that something that the state should just get out of the way and let happen?
Well, I think the state can help in, you know, maybe through tax credits, maybe through relaxing some regulations to attract businesses. I know when I was in California, and California was going through some very bad budget problems, their answer was always to raise taxes on the businesses and the corporations, and those corporations and businesses were just packing up and moving to Nevada and Texas. It was a great boom for those states because those states are doing very well. I listen to the radio every day, and Michigan does a lot to attract businesses. I think the state can do that. But more importantly, I think a lot of business attraction can be done at the local level. I think Jackson County can do a lot to help bring businesses here.
Steve Ritchie is a Republican running for Oregon House District 5, which is the southern end of Jackson County. Democrat Pam Marsh joined us previously. Whoever wins this seat replaces Peter Buckley, who's been in the legislature for a long time now and has been the chief budget writer in the House for several sessions. Steve Ritchie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. This is fun.
Good to have you.